Super Bowl winner in the house. His name is Chris Hoak. He's with me here until the top of the hour. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And our football talk right now, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, Hokie. The Broncos looked awful, but you never know with week one who's good, who's bad, what's happening. What's the biggest concern facing this team?
I think it's quarterback play. Yeah. You know, right now you got Bo Nix, who, you know, their first round draft pick, and they named him the starter a couple weeks ago. And, you know, during training camp, all of the reports coming out was that he had a good camp, right? And he earned that spot. He looked very, very shaky at best on Sunday against the Seahawks. And listen, it's tough to go up to Seattle. I mean, I've played in Seattle, I think, once, maybe twice, and it's a tough place to play. It's loud. It's intimidating, and the Seahawks play really well at home. So I expect him to be a different quarterback this Sunday at home.
Yeah.
But last week, I mean, he struggled. He missed a lot of throws, made a lot of poor decisions. And so I look at him as being the number one question mark in this game.
Man, I look at their depth chart. There can't be many more anonymous teams in the NFL than this. There's tons of
no-namers.
No-namers.
Not saying they're not good football players, but just they're not household names.
Yeah. This is a game you should win. Would you agree with that?
I think beginning of last week I had them losing this game, but I'm looking at this going, man, if they lose this game, it's going to be a bad look, right? I mean, the Broncos looked below the line to me in this game. They you know, Bro Nix really, really struggled. They ran the ball pretty well, but the Steelers' defense will outmatch the Broncos offense, and I just don't see the Broncos defense having an answer to the Steelers' upstart running game, even though I think that it can still improve, and this running quarterback.
Denver, not an easy place to go either. Is the effect, the altitude, is the effect on football players real or overhyped?
I'll share a story with you. You know, it's funny. We were out there playing one year, and Casey and I were rolling. Casey Hampton. We were just talking about Hampton over the break.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was always in the position where I would watch Hamp. When he would start to wear down, he'd look over at me. I'd look at him. We played together for 11 years, right? And so we knew each other. And I knew when he was ready to come out, I'd go running in when he'd come running out. And one game, we're in Denver, and the altitude will get you. And Hamp had been going for a few plays. And he looked over, I looked over him. I ran out into the field. He ran off. And we had this play where I was dropping to the weak hook in coverage. It was a zone blitz. And they ran a screen away from me. Okay? So I dropped to my left. I ran to my right. The running back then cut back to where I was at the beginning, to my left. I probably ran 55, 60 yards on this first play. I was gassed, Arkeem. I was so tired. I looked over, and Hamp was on his knee. I couldn't even breathe. I go, after one play, I go running over to the sideline. He looks at me and goes, Hokey, what are you doing? He goes, you're supposed to give me a spell, not me. I go, hey, I can't breathe, brother. And he got up and he ran onto the field, and we went back and forth like every couple plays. But it's a tough place to play, and the altitude is real.
Do you get used to it over the course of the game, or did you need more time to acclimate?
I played at BYU where we played at Wyoming, right? We played it. We played in Colorado Springs against Air Force. It's, if you don't live there, it's tough. It's a tough place to play. That's a home field advantage, no question about it.
Well, you had some memorable games in Denver. Your team did,
Sure.
Some good, some bad. Let's start with good. You guys went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was a big game. After them. I mean, that was the year that we made the run to Super Bowl 40 in the AFC Championship game. The game was pretty much over by halftime, right?
And
I mean,
that was a good team. That was a good team. Broncos team.
And we had the momentum, right? We were coming into the playoffs, a hot team.
Yeah.
And they couldn't stop the momentum that we had going into the AFC Championship game.
What do you remember about that day? I mean, that was such a gigantic moment.
You know,
I remember
what?
Being in the locker room afterward, and who was their coach was – Shanahan.
Was it Shanahan? I know Jake Plummer was the quarterback.
Yeah. He came into your locker room.
That's right. I do remember that. I remember him coming in. I remember seeing him. Yeah, it was just a great win. And, you know, that was our first experience in the Super Bowl. one of three of that kind of that core of that team.
Yeah.
And it was just an amazing experience because, you know, just a month before that, people were counting us out.
Yeah.
People were saying, hey, the Steelers, you know, after coming off their three-game losing streak, they're out. They're 7-5. They're not going to make the playoffs. On the outside looking in, and we went on and won three or four games in a row going into the playoffs, probably one of the hottest six seeds ever of all time, and knocked off these, I mean, shoot, Bengals, Colts, top offenses in the NFL. I mean, we did knock out Carson in the first quarter. And then we would go out and beat, I think Broncos was a top three offense in the NFL. I mean, yeah, we stopped every single one in their tracks.
Have you stayed in touch with Kimo over the years, Kimo von Ohlhoff?
I see him from time to time. I mean, Kimo was such a great man, a great player. I love playing with him. He taught me a lot as a young player. He was much older than me. When I came into the league, you know, as an undrafted free agent, he was a 10-plus year veteran. And I, for some reason, I remember a couple of times he and I rooming together early on in my rookie year and been able to pick his brain and be able to – I remember when I learned how to play a plus technique. We call it a plus technique. It's a tilt on the center. And I just could not figure that out. And I remember being on the road with him in the preseason and talking to Kimo, and he said, Hokie, don't play it like the playbook says to play it. This is how you play a plus technique. And it was life-changing for me in terms
really?
Of my NFL life. Oh, yeah. That's where I learned, like, the playbook says one thing, but game experience tells another.
He always seemed like a great guy. But I was curious, did that play on Carson Palmer live with him at all, do you think?
It did for a while. I don't think it still does today, but I mean, Kimo was a good guy. I mean, he wasn't a mean person at all. He was kind to everybody. He was always that guy that he would run out on the field during a commercial break and he would stand over and watch the players on the other team come out, the opposing team come out.
Yeah.
Hey, brother. Hey, brother. Hey, brother. Hey, brother. How you doing, brother? Oh, good to see you again, brother. He was so nice to everybody.
Yeah.
And then he'd go out there and he'd put that little hump on you and throw you. I remember when it happened, he was distraught. I mean, he was really upset about that, especially because the Bengals was his old team. He spent a long time there in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And so he had a love for the city, had a love for the organization. And he understood that taking down Carson Palmer like that, which was totally accidental, destroyed that team.
Mm. Yeah. I always wondered about that. All right. Well, now the bad memory, which is Tim Tebow. Were you on the field?
I was on IR that game.
Oh, you
I was,
were?
I was okay. on the field, yeah. But I was on IR. I was the first as a playoff game. Actually, I think that was my last season in the NFL. That's when I had, you know, that the neck injury and I had the surgery, Dr.
Right.
Maroon, and so I was there in spirit. That's where Casey got hurt. Remember Casey hurt his knee.
Everybody was hurt.
Everybody.
For you guys,
I think Kiesel got hurt in that game. I believe.
Yeah.
A lot of guys got hurt. But it's just, you know, listen, we did not think that Tebow was going to beat us with that arm. And it was the perfect call, right? They had heavy to, I think it was to the right, and they threw a quick slant to the single receiver to the left side, and it was just a quick slant. And what was his name, the receiver? He was
Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas. And it hit him on just in stride. And it was a great play call. It was a great throw, and they beat us. And none of us saw that. That was the one good thing about those teams back then, those Starkey, was we never thought we'd get beat. I mean, we practiced so hard. We prepared so well.
Yeah.
We competed in practice. We went out. A lot of times football teams take the field and they hope to win. They hope to win. That team, that core of players, we expected to win those games. So when we didn't win, we were like, we were surprised.
Yeah. You guys were 12-4 that year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we did not expect to lose that game in any way or fashion.
All right. We have Chris Hoke, Super Bowl champion, Fan Weather. Brought to you by Sun Chevrolet 2024. Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. I have 86 today with sunny skies. And you can call now to our dear friend City Limits to win tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival at the Pavilion at Star Lake on September 14th. Caller number 4 at 412-928-9370. All right, Hokie, how's this game going to play out? What are you seeing in your crystal ball? What kind of game will it be?
Well, I think it's going to be a difficult game. I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park. I believe they'll play much better. You know, I think a question mark again here is how's the offensive line going to come together, right? Is Dan Moore going to play? Are they going to have now Fautani making his first start at right tackle and now Broderick Jones going from right to left? That's going to make a big difference. The thing there is when you have a quarterback like Justin Fields, he can mask that because you could do rollouts, right? If the pocket breaks down, he can leak out. He can escape. Where if you have a quarterback that doesn't, you know, Russell Wilson, I mean, I'm not saying he's slow, but he's not the Russell Wilson he was a decade ago, right? He can't run like Justin Fields. So it's a little bit harder for him to get out and escape. And so he can really mask a disheveled offensive line. So I think that it's going to be a much more difficult game going in there and for them playing their first home game. But I see the Steelers actually winning this game. I really do. I think they'll go in there. They'll make enough plays. The Broncos, after watching them on film the last couple of days, I don't think are as good as I thought they would be. And so I think this is a game that's going to be hard fought, but a win for the Steelers.
Give me a final score,
the
exact yardage total for each team and an MVP.
The exact yardage. I think the Steelers are going to win. I think that it's going to be something close. I think it's going to be something it's going to be low scoring. I just don't see the Steelers right now scoring a lot of points. So I think it's going to be a lot of the same. I think it'll be 20-16, right? Something like that in that range. I think that the Broncos, listen, don't sleep on Bo Nix. Maybe his arm, maybe he's making some, it's not his arm. His decisions aren't there yet. The game's, he's trying to catch up to the game in terms of the speed. He can run now. And so if you don't respect his running ability, that's what he did when they went down and marched down the field and scored on the Seahawks late in the game was they let him get out of the pocket, and he was able to get some two long runs. And he scored a touchdown run. So if you don't respect his ability, they didn't have to respect Kirk Cousins last week in terms of his escapability. They were able to really pin their ears back, and they didn't have to worry about rush lanes when they're rushing the quarterback. This week, you got to worry about your rush lanes. If you don't establish more of a mush rush where you try to collapse the pocket around him, he'll leak out, and he'll convert, kind of like what Justin Fields does. He'll convert first downs. And so you got to be more cognizant of your pass rushing lanes this week, or he'll hurt you.
What do you think of the new kickoff rule?
The jury's still out, but I'm not a huge fan. It just seems...
Me neither.
I don't know. I just don't like it, but time will tell. I think there's still some adjustments the NFL will make to it.
Thank you, Hokie. You're a wonderful man.
It was great. I always love being with you, brother.
We'll do it next week.
Let's go.